now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. A lot of these people that have all these abilities, who have celestial star ancestry, they're operating not only throughout this cosmos, but in higher planes, and they're working against the Draco Empire. Photonic energy and the cosmic rays will activate our higher centers. And it's incumbent upon us to ride that frequency wave. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you are listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my very special guest is Lynn Williams. Lynn Williams is a shamanic healer and teacher and a guide who has all of her extrasensory gifts open. These allow her to see, hear, feel, smell, and sense interdimensional energies and entities. After her profound spiritual awakening by extraterrestrial visitation in 2010, and having previously spent 25 years working in the corporate world, Lynn decided to dedicate her life and work to assisting others in their own spiritual awakening and emotional healing and shadow work, teaching them how to remove etheric interferences that hinder them and inspiring them to live healthier and more fulfilled lives. Lynn can activate awakenings within people with her words and download messages for her clients directly from Source. She also works with people, pets, and horses as a telepathic energy healer. Her ability to connect with and feel the emotions of people and animals combined with her healing hands and voice has helped numerous people and animals heal from various physical and emotional trauma. Lynn has worked with over 1,100 heavily etherically implanted individuals and has taught over 175 people how to keep themselves etherically implant and entity free. Additionally, Lynn has coached and guided a variety of clients with finding the right career, job transition, work-life balance, attaining optimal health, and creating better relationships. She has spent thousands of hours studying and or experiencing a multitude of subjects, metaphysical, spiritual, ascension, UFO, and ET related. Lynn has been interviewed on numerous radio shows with regard to her awakening experiences and teaching implant removal, and has been a guest writer for the Wake Up World website. She earned her BA in Human Resources from the University of Connecticut, became a certified life coach in 2003 after attending the coach's training, and completed her Reiki Level 1 and 2 training from a 10th degree master teacher in 2011. So without any further ado, Lynn Williams, how are you?
I'm great, James, and I'm so honored to be on your show. I have to say, I woke up in 2010 and you were one of the first people whose work I followed very, very closely. I just felt like you did excellent research and really seemed to have a real in-depth understanding of your subject matter, and you woke me up to the whole reptilian agenda, which is going to feed nicely into what we're talking about today.
Well, thank you very much, Lynn. It's interesting how these things come full circle, that we teach each other, and I'm always open to learning. I'm still in the learning mode. I will never say definitively I've got it all figured out, because that would be absolutely wrong and egotistical. I really appreciate the kudos, and I must say that there was a lot of people behind the scenes that helped me learn, and so, you know, the fact that you and I can connect in this forum and turn around and teach and help others reintegrate and heal, to me, that's marvelous.
I agree. I fully agree. And I never knew when I woke up I'd be doing anything like this, but you know what? Spirit has a way of leading us to what our missions are and what we're supposed to be doing. So, and mine keeps expanding. I'm sure yours does on a daily basis as well.
We might as well get right into all the great information you're going to bring to the table. Tell us, Lynn, about your background and how you got into this work.
When I was a child, I was very awake. In fact, at 8 years old, I sort of told my mother, when she asked me what I was going to be when I grow up, I told her I was going to save the world. So I knew at a very tender age I had something going on. I didn't know what that meant, of course, and I don't think I ever thought I'm going to do that, because how could one person ever affect anything? And of course, I'm not doing it by myself. We've got a whole army of us that are here to help this planet and the shift that we're going through now. And I'm one of many, many out there, and I'm so grateful for everyone else that is out there doing this work. So I went to sleep pretty much after I was a child, because my visions, the things that I was seeing interdimensionally, weren't really supported by my parents. And then I went into the corporate world for 25 years. I was a high-powered recruiter for corporate America, placing senior executives, fully embedded in the matrix, and then woke up again in 2010 by ETs in my bedroom. What I've been told and what I'm sensing is these are non-physical beings, what we would call higher dimensional beings. I'm still sorting through exactly who they are. It doesn't matter to me. All I know is they're my guardians and my helpers and my family. And when they came and visited me, all my gifts woke up. I mean, I basically, clairaudience, clairsentience, all my gifts came online. And I always was empathic. I'd always been sort of able to precognitively see three steps ahead of everyone else around me. So I had some gifts open that I used in my corporate job, but now all of a sudden everything was open. And along with that, I also got a lot of attention from the dark military. I had black helicopters over my house, and this was back in the days when people didn't even think they were real. So imagine what my friends thought when I kept telling them I had black helicopters over my house. They said, "What black helicopters? What are you talking about?" So I had a lot of really difficult experiences waking up, because no one believed me in terms of what I was experiencing. I had reptilians in the house. I had men in black following me. I had lots of really strange experiences. And that led me to a number of years of solitude, because frankly, I was afraid. I was afraid. I kept getting messages that I would be killed if I spoke publicly. I later found out that I had a giant implant in my throat, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more, these etheric alien implants. I had a giant implant in my throat, and every time I even thought about speaking publicly about the things that I knew or the things that were happening to me, I had a program in my head telling me I would be killed. And so while I did get invited on a number of shows, I didn't want to go, and I turned a number of shows down until it was around September of last year, not this past year, but the last year. And that's when I got my implants removed and my life changed. All of a sudden, I was in the public forum. So that's a little bit, I mean, there's a much bigger backstory to this, but that's not the agenda for today. But that's a little bit about my journey.
Could you tell us what is an etheric implant?
Okay, so there are a number of categories of these etheric implants. The first thing I want to say is, what do we mean by etheric implants? We mean non-physical implants. So there are abductees that have physical implants that have been taken out, and they are physical. Some of them dissolve. Some of them have some sort of cloaking technology so that you can't see them after you take them out. But by and large, they're physical in this 3D reality. When we talk about etheric implants, we're talking about the next layer over to, if you were to look at an aura chart, to our aura. So we've got our physical body in the center of our aura. Then we've got the etheric and the mental, emotional, spiritual out to the causal body. These etheric entities are coming in and resting in our etheric body. And the etheric is the doorway to the unseen world. It holds the blueprint for our physical bodies, so all of our organs, cells, tissues, bones, what have you, are blueprinted in the etheric. And that is why people can feel these implants when they're in their body. They'll feel like something is crawling around them. They'll feel maybe like an entity is standing behind them, but they can't see it, because they may not have their clairvoyance open enough to be able to see them, or they may not have their clairsentience enough to be able to identify what this being or this creature is that's crawling around. And, you know, many times people go to the doctors and they try to figure out, you know, "Doctor, I have this thing and there's something, you know, crawling around inside me, or there's a pain or there's an ache in my body." And the doctors can't find anything there because it's resting on the etheric level. And it's not going to show up in an X-ray or some sort of 3D medical test. And so this leads people to great despair oftentimes because they know they've got all these interferences, but they don't know what it is, and there's no 3D answer for it. And that's when I discovered the etheric implants and realized, oh my gosh, these things are causing a host of disease in the body, negative mind programs, negative emotional programs, and it explains a lot of things that have been going on with people that they had no other explanation for.
Can you tell us a bit about the history of implants? What is their agenda, entities that are putting these implants in, and why do they seem to have this interest in humans and human bloodlines also?
Well, when we look at the etheric implants, let me just say one other thing on that. There's what I'm finding are several categories of these, and I want to say to the audience, I don't get into a lot of specifics about the implants that I find, and I do that because many people find me through these radio shows that I do, and I don't want to put the idea in their head because it's really important when I teach them how to see them and how to remove them that they're able to do that on their own without any suggestibility by me. And so I don't get into a lot of the specifics about that, but what I will say is there are about four categories. We are now looking at the what I'll call the organic bipedal entities. So things like maybe a reptilian, okay? Anything that's standing on 2 feet that is an ET, that is parasitic, service to self, and is looking to feed on our energy. That would be category one. Category two would be what I'll call the more sentient type creatures. So let's just take a spider. It would be more like an organic spider that we would see around the house. It's in our physical etheric field. Then the third category are what I'm seeing is AI technology. And this can be a lot of different things from mechanical devices to actually take that spider example, a mechanical spider. Like you would see in that movie with Tom Cruise, I can't remember what it's called, where he's in the bathtub and the mechanical spiders come to get him. That's the type of spider somebody could see in their own body. And then the last category is the black goo that Harold Cloud Svela talks about. There are actually various types of goos that a client can see, but black goo is very prominent, and it's sentient. And so I had a recent client about a week ago where this black goo actually lifted up in their body and morphed into a creature and then fell back down. So it's completely conscious, completely sentient, and it can morph into a variety of shapes. And you'll see this when you look at the videos of, like, Lady Gaga or Britney Spears, when they're wearing that black vinyl. No, guys, that's black goo. They're embodying that. You're watching it take over the physical form because that's what the dark cabal wants. So getting back to your question, James, about what is their agenda, these entities, all of these technologies, it's to lock down humanity. It's to shut us down from ever discovering who we really are and opening our gifts to the fullest. Because if we did, we would be in union with Mother Earth, and we would be helping her through the shift, and by helping her, she would be helping us raise our consciousness through the shift. And of course, the dark cabal does not want this to happen. They want to keep us all enslaved. So that's the overall agenda, and they're using these parasitic entities, as you're well aware, reptilian and otherwise, are using the humans that we call the dark cabal, the leaders of the world, that are ruling in that domain. They're basically manipulating those people. Half of them are hybrids, but if they're actually people, they're being completely manipulated by these entities. And so, again, the agenda is an ET agenda that is coming down and interfacing with humans that they can use as portals to basically enslave the rest of us. So that's the overall agenda. And why are they interested in humans? Because we are living batteries. We are an incredible food source for them. They need our negative energy to feed on, but we also are co-creators, and they are not. These parasitic service-to-self entities are not creators, which is why they're parasites, just like a mosquito or a flea has to parasite our body in order to reproduce and live. And so what they want to do is basically zombify us, make us so that we're unaware of our gifts, we're unable to create for ourselves, and then they can just use our battery power either to co-create for themselves or to feed them themselves.
Yes, what I found with some of the people I've worked with is when they feel this etheric implant / alien intelligence infection, if you will, take hold of them, they can actually feel it growing within their body. They can actually feel it move around from around their midriff, around their back, and they almost invariably say there's a sentience behind it. There's this cold, calculating intelligence behind it, and really, it's understandable why some of these people wind up in such despair.
Exactly, because again, many people can be, you know, we're all awakening on different levels, and we're all coming into information at different points in our journey. So many of them, you know, aren't even fully awake in the spiritual sense. These are people that know something has been messing with them their entire lives, and they didn't know what it was, and there just was no one they could talk to about it. And I do want to say that if you have not, any of the audience has not had an implant removal, we all have them. This is something that we were all born into when we took on these physical bodies. It was part of the program. You know, we talk a lot about how we come through the mind wipe and we lose all of our memories of our past lives, which somewhat debilitates us, particularly if we came here with a mission. It takes a while for us to refigure out what is it we came here for. Well, when we come through the birthing, we also get implanted. We take on a body that is implanted because everything's implanted in this domain in terms of the human form. So unless somebody's had their implants out, unfortunately, they still have them. And for the unawakened masses, since they've never felt their bodies without implants, they're probably oblivious to what's going on at all. At least for the people that are awakened, they know something is wrong. They know some force is messing with them. They just don't have anyone to talk to, or they haven't until recently. It's been in the last couple of years that this whole subject of implant removal has really come to the fore, and I think I've had a hand in that. And now people are openly talking about it, and it's providing so many solutions for people to at least understand what's been happening them for them, maybe their whole lives.
Could you tell us how you got involved with teaching implant removal?
About a year and a half ago, I do other things besides implant removal. I'm a spiritual and life coach for people. And so I had a client come to me, and this was the first client I'd had like this, and she said, "Lynn, I'm having great difficulties with this voice in my head that's telling me to commit suicide." So she'd be driving down the road, and the voice would say, "Drive off the road into that ditch." And she said, "Lynn, I know it's not my voice. I don't know what this is." She thought it was a demon, and she wanted help. And I wasn't a shaman. I didn't know how to get rid of it in that sense. I mean, I am shamanic in other ways, but I had never exorcised demons. And so I'd been looking for someone, and I found a young man who had just come out and said that he was doing implant removal. And anyway, long story short, we ended up working together. And through that, I awakened to my ability to pull out my own implants and my ability to teach others. I actually worked with 1,100 people. I was booking all the appointments for him. By the way, I do want to say I do not work with this man anymore, and I don't endorse him, and I really want nothing more to do with him. And that's all I really want to say on that. But it gave me an opportunity to really learn about what's happening with people, because they would come to me to book the appointment, and I would do an assessment to find out, you know, what's going on with you, tell me your story. And then many of them would contact me after the session to say, "Lynn, this is what's been happening since." And so I gathered an incredible wealth of information as I was doing this work for about, I guess it was a little over 6-7 months. And then I started teaching others starting in February of this past year. And I've taught 175 people since. And that gave me also this great wealth of knowledge of watching person after person without me telling them, without me prompting them as to what they're going to see, seeing the same types of implants in the body, in the same places. And now I've identified approximately 30 to 40 implants that I see over and over to a person in very similar places in the body. So what that tells me is nobody's making this up. Because how do 175 people come up with the same story? So this is really what is happening on a bigger scale. And what it also says to me is these implants aren't morphing. Aside from the black goo, which is, very sentient. The rest of the implants aren't really morphing. They're staying the same. They're on the same program, the same agenda, person to person to person. And that's good news for us, because they're not evolving as quickly as our consciousness is being raised and our awareness is being raised. And therefore, we all have an opportunity to conquer this and get ahead of it. And I'll tell you what, I think if we could just get people unimplanted and they knew how to keep themselves clean, that is at least 50% of the battle on this planet right now, because these implants lock everybody down so hard.
How does someone know they have implants? Well, what's the symptomology, if you will?
Oh, gosh, there's such a long list, and these symptoms can coincide with true medical symptoms as well as true mental illness and emotional problems. But the basic things that you want to be looking for is, let's start with, I'll break them down into the physical. So if we're looking at the physical, it's maybe these odd aches and pains, stabbing sensations, or weird pinpricks in the body, particularly at night. You know, you wake up and something just stabbed you in the ankle or bit your toe. That's a sign of entity interference. And again, it's happening on the etheric level, but you can easily feel it bleed into your physical body. You may have physical diseases that came out of nowhere, and no doctor can figure out how did this crop up overnight. Again, I believe a lot of these implants and these entities that feed on them, they actually seed the implants in places in the body, and that those implants can then start the genesis of disease. And at some point, the physical body takes over the program and continues it and grows it. But in the beginning, if we could get people implant-free, I bet they would see a lot of their aches, pains, and diseases completely go away. From an emotional standpoint, you may have bizarre mood swings. You may be usually a very calm, balanced person in how you conduct your life, and all of a sudden you go off on a tangent. Or maybe you have a memory loss where you have a friend that said, "Wow, Sue, you just really went off on me the other day." And Sue is saying, "I don't know what you're talking about. I have zero memory of that." A momentary takeover by interdimensional entity of some kind. The thoughts or the voices we talked about, the thoughts aren't your own, or the thoughts are looping, you know, this obsessive, compulsive, I can't get it out of my head thought going around and around in your head, that is an implant. The implants basically will come into the body and try to lock down on any distress that they can either create or take advantage of. So if you had a trauma, say you were deeply in love, you had a breakup with your beloved, they will implant the emotional or chakra area that kind of governs that domain, and then they will feed on it. And then they'll even try to externally set up circumstances in your life so that that situation is repeated over and over and over again, so that it feeds into the implant. They'll put literal capturing devices in the body that they can plug into, and then they just feed on it over and over again. And this is why a lot of people go for therapy or medical care, and they never can solve their problem. They never can solve their addictions, because these programs are running, keeping them completely locked down.
Without getting into too many specifics and delving into the nuances of implants and implant removal, could you speak a bit about how perhaps the location of the etheric implants may serve a particular purpose, like in the solar plexus, or you mentioned some people describe getting an etheric implant in the throat and it prevents them from talking about certain issues?
That actually was the case with me. Well, all right, so when we look at the physical body, basically if you look at the endocrine gland system, I'm so sorry, I can't say that word well, so we'd be talking about all of your glandular, all the glands, the pineal gland, the pituitary gland, all of the glands within the body, the lymphatic system. So that is what holds toxins in the body. And when we exercise or we do a lymphatic flush, we're getting that all those toxins out of the body. The chakra system within the body. These are areas that these implants will particularly target for reasons that probably will make sense now, given what I've said before. Because if we look at our chakra system, let's look at our solar plexus chakra. That governs our will, our ability to move forward in life, our confidence level. So, for example, I had a woman come to me who had a massive number of implants in that particular region. As she got them out, she literally said, "Lynn, I can feel that program of lack of self-confidence leaving my body, like it's gone." For me personally, I had an implant in the throat chakra that kept me from getting on radio shows because, as I said earlier, every time I thought of getting on the show, you know, I got a program or a thought, "You're going to be killed, you're going to be killed." So when we remove these from, or the pineal gland, as many can imagine, the pineal gland is an important gland for a lot of reasons when it comes to our spiritual gifts. It helps connect us to source, it helps our clairvoyance. And so when they can lock down that particular gland, they block us from our connection to source. They also block us from our connection to Mother Earth so that we can't ground properly. You can have entities standing behind you that are operating you from behind. They're in your etheric field, but they don't necessarily feel like they're in your body per se, but you'll get this sensation of something, you know, standing behind you. I think that may be where a lot of these sayings come from, things like, you know, "Get that monkey off my back." Well, guys,
yes.
You know, that isn't a monkey. or it's a monkey in a manner of speaking. So, you know, if we look through history, there's been discussion about these implants for millennia. I just think in ancient times, like in Lemurian times, I think we knew how to deal with them. But when we came into these more modern times, these agendas have kept us not only from knowing who we are, but also knowing how to deal with that realm.
An interesting story from one of my colleagues. He was doing, I guess, what amounted to a rebirthing session, where he had a very clear vision and the sensations that go along with it of birthing into this creation, into this plane of existence, and essentially volunteering for the work here. And he stated that from where he came from, there were no such thing as rage, jealousy, resentment, and these lower vibratory emotions, energy in motion. And as he was birthed, if you will, into this plane of existence, he passed through like this etheric control center, and he clearly remembered implants placed on his energetic etheric body, which generated feelings of low vibration, of rage, of envy, of anger, of jealousy, and thus he was prepared for the endless incarnational loop so he can start accruing all this negative karma, which really didn't belong to him in the first place, because having come from a higher dimensional source, but being plugged into this reality, suddenly they loaded him up with all these implants, which, going through all these incarnations at times a very brutish world, brutish incarnations, after a while he accrued quite a bit of negative karma.
Wow, thank you for saying that, James, because I got to be honest, where does this information in my knowing come from? Part of it is scientific research and study, but some of it is just I know. You know, I know what I know, and sometimes I don't know why I know it. I just see a bigger picture. And so for you to actually confirm what I knew in a very visceral way with this client that you had, wow, that is really amazing. Because I do believe that's happening to every single one of us. And so when people come to me and they say, "Lynn, well, how would I know if I have implants? Or does everyone have implants?" Absolutely. We can't be in these physical bodies in this 3D reality right now without them, unless we get rid of them, of course. Because it's what we all go through when we come here, even the star-seeded ones, even the ones that came here and know they had a big mission, they go through the great forgetting and they go through the same implantation process. So thank you. Thank you, James, for verifying that.
You're quite welcome. Another thing that is interesting and needs to be pointed out is, and I'd like your take on this, is you pointed out how the solar plexus is our will, our volition center. And so many of us have had to deal with self-confidence issues, self-worth issues. Can these etheric implants be constructed in such a way as to engender within the individual a poverty consciousness, a lack of abundance consciousness, a can't make money consciousness? Because, unfortunately, we are in a system in the 3D plane that's ruled by a monetized debt system. So would you like to comment on that?
Well, first of all, absolutely, and that has more to do with the root and the sacral chakras. Because that's our safety and security, right? So the root chakra and the sacral chakra, that's where our sense of well-being and our ability to feel safe, you know, are. And that, and the lower three chakras, they target more than any of the others. Because once you get to the heart chakra and above, not that they aren't all targeted, but those connect you to the upper realms. What they want is they want to put people in a state of absolute survival, which is why they've created this whole money-making system, right? And this is why they got people out of the farms during the industrial age and into the cities to pay them money, more money, which lured all the young people away from the farms because it disconnected them from the land, it disconnected them from Mother Earth, and it disconnected them from a part of their beingness and their knowingness. And it put them in these glass towers in the city, more or less, right? So everybody works in these big, tall towers in these cities. And then it made everybody dependent on that. So it's been an absolute plan to get everybody afraid of survival, to get everybody focused on having to make money at all costs, because if without it, we can't survive. And what it got everybody away from the idea that Mother Earth will give us everything we need. This is how humans lived on this planet for millions of years, that we don't need the cabal. We don't need their money. It's a false construct. And if we all rose up tomorrow and said we're done with that, we would be done with that. But it's brainwashed so many people with these etheric implants in their lower chakras into thinking that they need it. And that there's, you know, you ask somebody, we need to get rid of money. And they're like, how could you possibly get rid of money? And I see a lot of these other, what I'll call, you know, new systems coming up. And frankly, to me, they're just money 2.0. They're new ways of doing commerce under the guise of light work, where they're going to build communities and have new governance over the people and new monetary systems. And I think if you really connect with Mother Earth, we need to wipe out that monetary system altogether. And we've been brainwashed into thinking that we need it, and we don't. And really, go back a couple hundred years, they didn't have a monetary system. They traded goods. They traded services. It was energy exchange. They didn't trade money. If you go back, you know, thousand or even, a, you know, several hundred years. And, of course, we know that our history has been rewritten, so we don't know what to believe anymore. But really, go back to the way people in the, you know, supposed 1500s, 1600s, they had money back then, but how many people were living off of farms and doing their commerce by trade. You know, somebody over here could bake goods. Somebody over here could do farming. Somebody over here could slaughter a cow. You know, I mean, and then they just exchange their goods and services. That's what we need to get back to, because that is the true exchange. That's the organic exchange.
One of the things that's come up in my work and in the work of some colleagues is the etheric entities which attach themselves to people. And a particular entity that's come up a lot are these etheric interdimensional snake entities that pop up or wind up in people's solar plexus, or in an etheric way. It's similar to the Stargate SG-1 TV show, where these physical snake entities embody themselves, they burrow into the back of people's necks and then take them up as a host. Now, if you've heard of these ethereal snake entities, do they seem to have an interaction with the etheric implants?
Oh, absolutely. My clients see snakes in their body all the time. But, you know, and again, I have to just be careful, and I wish I could talk about the 40 implants that I see all the time. I really do. But I really want, my mission is to help people and to teach this. And again, if I put too much out there, then people will come to me and say, well, how much of that was the interview I listened to with Lynn, and how much of that did I really see? But yeah, since you brought it up, they find snakes all the time. And here's what you need to know. You can have a reptilian in your chest. You know, you could have a snake in your brain. You could have a snake in your toe. I mean, they can be anywhere. These etheric implants, you know, our logical mind has a hard time grasping until somebody goes through an implant removal where you see where and how these things formulate. They could be anywhere. Because in the etheric, all the rules are like dream time. You know, in the 3D, everything's logical, it's linear, you know, there's time, space, gravity. That doesn't exist in the etheric realm. In the etheric realm, it's more like dream time, and whatever, you know, happens just happens. and you don't have to have a linear explanation for how you got from point A to point B. And so that's another opening that has to occur with clients, is they have to let go of that 3D programming that it's got to be logical. It isn't at all. These things just pop in and out at will. Some of them are there constantly.
As far as the implant removals are concerned, once you or one of your colleagues has successfully removed an implant or implants ethereal from people, what can the client expect after implant removal? How will they feel?
Well, I have clients that during implant removal, they sound like they're having an orgasm.
Okay.
I mean, seriously, I've had, at first I thought, oh my gosh, am I hurting you? And they're like, no, like I'm feeling my energy for the first time. Either maybe they're feeling, you know, Mother Earth's energy come up through their body, or they're feeling the source connection, or they're just feeling their own, you know, what we might call kundalini, but that energy rise up the spine. Because really what these implants do is they short circuit all of that, right? It's like putting blocks all through the body. So we don't get that energy connection from below our feet to above our head. We don't get it. And so when you take out the implants and you free that all up, all of a sudden you've got that flow. You can also expect that your gifts will open to the next level, to another level. And again, you know, when I say these things, everybody is different. Everybody has a different mission. They have a different lineage. They have a different soul agreement as to what they're doing here. Because we can not only be star seeds on a mission, but we can also have a personal mission for our own soul growth. So depending on what that is, they may want to experience certain things that somebody else would consider painful or uncomfortable. And so I can't guarantee, but generally, like I said, you should see your gifts go to the next level. So you start to open up your pituitary gland and your pineal gland more, so that all of a sudden you're more connected to source. You have a more knowing claircognizance about things. You have your clairaudience and your clairvoyance open up to another level. Aches and pains disappear in the body. I had one woman, she had for 30 years had been in constant ache and pain around her body, and as soon as she got her implants out, as she plucked them out one by one, she said, Lynn, that pain is completely gone. She was baffled at the end of how good she felt. She had never felt that way in her life, and the doctors hadn't been able to find what the reasons were, so they thought, you know, some of this might have been mental illness, and it wasn't. The other thing you may feel is the clarity of thought. I mean, I'm 57 years old, I'm sharp as a tack. I feel better, I have more energy, and I have more clarity of thought than I had when I was in my 20s. Now, I will say some of that is supporting that with my diet. I'm a vegan vegetarian for the most part. I also eliminated my television. I don't listen to rock music in the car. You know, a lot of music, people aren't going to like to hear this, but there are codes embedded in the frequencies of that music that is not good for you. This is why when people listen to classical, their bodies calm down. There's a reason for that, particularly if it's toned to 432 frequency. So I've really made a lot of changes in my personal life to support my own implant removal. But by and large, people get their lives back the way they should have had them from the beginning. Most people say to me, Lynn, I didn't know I could feel this good.
Now, once the implants have been removed, will the individual who has already started to feel the beneficial effects from the implant removal, will they have to keep scanning periodically to make sure they haven't come back?
Absolutely, absolutely. And this is a hard one for clients who come to me, because we live in a one-pill world, right? Take this pill and you'll feel better. And what the cabal has done is they've sort of conditioned people to look for the answer outside of themselves and to look for a really quick fix. And when we're dealing with any kind of etheric or energy work or interdimensional work with beings, it doesn't work that way. Just like we would brush our teeth, we have to do personal etheric hygiene every day. I kind of call myself on the etheric realm, you know, the dentist who does the deep teeth cleaning for you. And then I send you home and I say, okay, you've got to brush and floss daily. Well, if you didn't brush and floss daily, what do you think your teeth are going to look like in about a month, right? They're going to look horrible. And so one of the hardest things for me is to say to my clients, look, I'm going to teach you this, but you're the ones that are going to have to do this every day. Now, the good news is, and it depends on people's missions, but usually within a couple of weeks, maximum a month, the entities will start to get the signal, oh, if I go into that person's going to pull me out and destroy me. And therefore, they kind of get the message and they start leaving that person alone. Plus, at the same time, it's almost like the sovereignty, the competence, the ability to stand in, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not letting you guys rule me. Standing in that frequency also helps keep these entities out. A high vibration really helps to keep the entities out, but it won't remove the ones that are already there. And that, I really want to talk about that for a second, because people come to me and they say, well, Lynn, I've been practicing yoga and I do spiritual meditation and I've eliminated all my toxic friends and I live a really clean life, so I don't have entities, right? And I say, well, did you ever get them out? And if the answer is no, then yes, they still have entities. Now, their high vibration will help keep new ones from coming in, but they were implanted as per your story there, James, from the time they came in, and they have to get those out. Once they get those out, then their high vibration helps really greatly to keep them out. The other thing, people have come to me and said, well, Lynn, I've cut my contracts. Any contracts I had with these beings, any agreement I would have had to have this experience, I've ended. And they cite Cameron Day's work, who I have great respect for, and other people's contract cutting work. The problem, again, is if they never got the implants out in the first place, they're trying to end a contract with something that's already living sort of inside them. And I always say to those people, get your entities out first and then cut your contracts. It'll be a far more powerful for you, and it'll help keep them out. Now, over time, you will build immunity to these things, and I'm to the point now where I'm scanning about once every 3 weeks to a month and getting them all out. Other than that, I really don't have to scan on a daily basis anymore because my frequency has gotten too strong, and they just kind of know, don't mess with her. And, yeah, I pick up stuff, I mean, because look at the work I do every day, so I do pick up things, but like I said, it's happening more and more, less frequently than it did in the beginning. And again, I think that's good news for all of us, because if we can get these out and then build that sense of self, that sense of sovereignty, then that's going to help us raise our vibration to the degree that we build solid immunity to them. I really think there'll be a tipping point at some point if we can get enough people unimplanted, and if we teach them, and this is the key thing, you have to do it every day, so you can't just run to somebody else and have them do it for you. You have to be taught so you can do it yourself and keep yourself clear. But if we got enough people, there would be a tipping point, and it would be, boom, downloaded into the mass consciousness, and all of a sudden people would know how to do it, and we'd have massive change on this planet very fast.
We've talked earlier about how sometimes people trigger one another, for lack of a better term, whether it's because of unresolved trauma, not having fully healed or reintegrated. You know, we always hear stories in our field of people's physical implants triggering alarms, triggering at stores, for example, triggering security checkpoints at transportation hubs because they're giving off some kind of electromagnetic emission or are giving off like a radar return, if you will, that's able to be picked up by conventional technology. Now, as far as the etheric implants are concerned, is it possible for one person's implant to activate or set off another person's etheric implant?
Yes and yes. So the implants can interact with one another. I was in, you know, a love bite situation. In fact, that's how I came to your work. I kind of came to it, James, through Eve Lorgan, and I had been in a 6-year love bite. The minute the implants were removed from both sides, the obsessive compulsive thoughts, all of that disappeared instantly. So yes, the implants of a person can trigger implants in another. The other thing that I try to caution my clients about, just so they know, is that if you do get yourself free and clear of the implants, and believe me, you want your own body to be free and clear of them, then the entities oftentimes will try to go through other people that you care about, your best friend, your lover, your children. They will even come into your pets to try to get to you another way. So, for example, you could have, you know, all of a sudden your boyfriend picks a fight with you out of the blue and out of character for him. And maybe he even has no memory of it. And it was a horrific fight and you were deeply traumatized. That is how another way these entities will try to get in and mess with you, because they can't get into your core anymore because you're keeping yourself clean. I have a cat who loves to, the minute I'm doing a podcast, an interview, doing a session with someone, is at my feet, meow, 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 meow. And when I look down, his eyes are black. They aren't the normal blue that they normally are. And that's when I know he's got a little demon in him. And he's just there to, you know, get in the way of my work. And so, yes, they definitely mess with us. And this is also part of the zombie meme that we have been seeing. And that maybe will interface more into a subject I want to talk about also, and that is how technology interfaces with these entities and these implants. But, you know, the zombie meme is also where the implants through the cell phone towers, through the electrical lines, through the nanotechnology, the chemtrails, the GMOs in the food, all of that dumbing down is creating this zombified world. And that just makes it easier for these entities to come in and take these people over. They're almost like walking vessels waiting to be taken over. And you can find videos of this on the internet where some guy's, you know, standing at a 7-Eleven reaches into a cabinet to get a drink, and all of a sudden, boom, he's taken over and he's writhing on the floor and screaming. And those sorts of things are going to happen more and more as these technologies interface with the human vessel, lower the frequency of the human vessel, and allow these entities easy access.
We're going to go over time here in the first hour. It's okay if we go over several minutes because we've got such important information to share. And before moving on to this technology agenda and also the artificial intelligence component that goes along with it, I'd just like your thoughts on the love bite, because you mentioned it earlier, and I'm really grateful that you mentioned Eve's work, because she is a pioneer in this field, as you know, and a lot of her work was based on the previous work of Barbara Bartholix. Having gone through the alien love bite myself, I very clearly felt that I had implants in my lower chakras and in my heart chakra. Now, this was in the days before the internet, before social media, which only exacerbates the situation. But back then, just hearing a voice message from the gal that I had the alien love bite with, it was like my loins would start to, you know, be aroused, my heart center would start to be energized, but it was in a very love drug kind of way. It was not an organic kind of blissful, real kind of way. It was all very artificial, but it was very strong. And part of your work, I'm sure, is involved extracting implants from the lower, the root chakra, the sacral chakra, and the sexual chakra. Can you describe a bit about that before we move on to the AI aspects?
Sure. And so let me talk about the love bite in my experience. So, yes, I had the same sort of symptomology. First of all, they set us up. They made me obsessive compulsive about this person from day one. And, you know, they do that, as you know, James. They usually have one person who's a very strong light worker, and then they set you up with another person who is there to really take you down. And it typically is the women that are the light workers and the men are the ones that are easily manipulated, but that's not always the case, obviously not in your case. So I had that situation, and it was horrible. I mean, I'm a psychology major in college. I have counseled and coached people for years. I've healed my own family traumas. I've worked very hard on my own shadow for all of my life. And yet, here I was allowing myself to be in this very destructive relationship. It was the implants. And in fact, I had this one experience where I was on the phone with my person, and at the end, I was just in this incredibly high, blissful state of deep, deep love. And all of a sudden, I felt this energy rise up from the bottom of my spine up to the top of my head, very blissful, like a kundalini rising. And I was just sitting there as I'd gotten off the phone thinking, oh my God, I've never felt this way. I must be so deeply in love with this man. Look at what we've created together. And then at that moment, I felt my crown chakra open, and it was like some entity literally had a straw poked it in the top of my head and drained all of that energy out of me. I literally could barely get up from the chair. I was so drained of my chi, my prana, my life force energy that it took me 2.5 days to recover it back. And I knew, oh my gosh, there's something really going on here. And even then I thought, oh, well, that entity must be feeding on our love. No, it was because I later saw the man that I was in love with morph in front of me. And I know for a fact he's being interdimensionally manipulated by reptilians. So what I think happened is he's on the phone with me. The reptilians are manipulating a lot of that connection. And then as soon as I got really nice and juicy for him, right, I'm in a state of love and happiness, they came and just siphoned every ounce of my energy.
Yeah, and that's how it's done. And the phone, as you know, it's an electromagnetic conduit, and everything is exacerbated these days by the internet, which itself is an electromagnetic conduit. And someone going through the love bite, all it takes is to get an email, a Facebook message, a Twitter message from that other person that they've been bonded with, and whammo, the loins get activated, the heart center feels really heavy and activated, and the OCD thought loops start kicking in. So thank you for sharing that. And the good news is, folks, is that there are solutions, and these things can be resolved in a painless way for the most part. Now, in the time we've got left, this is a really key part of the interview we're going to go through, and it's okay if we go over several minutes as far as this first segment is concerned. So much has been discussed these days about the very real threat posed by artificial intelligence and all of its manifestations, the nanobots, the Morgellons, the binary effect with the chemtrails being amped up by electromagnetic frequencies, i.e. HARP, so on and so forth, and the black goo, and you throw all that into the mix. Now, could you describe to the listeners how this technology interfaces with the human body and etheric implants in general?
I really believe, James, that a lot of this technology has been created as a sort of conductive highway for these beings. It's a lot easier for them to connect with us through this technology. And so, you know, everything the cabal does is, in my opinion, is a multifaceted agenda. You know, chemtrails don't have just one reason for being there. And the same with technology. It doesn't just have one reason that they're using it for. This is another reason. And so I have recordings of reptilians and grays on the Skype line when I've been connecting with certain people, including my clients, where these entities have come over and I can clearly record them. So that tells you something right there. And I started to notice they were coming over the phone. And then I started noticing the more that the talk of this AI technology was coming to the fore, the more I started to notice how my computer was being manipulated all by itself. And then I started hearing stories of people where the more they connected with technology, the more they felt like they were being taken over by entities. And then I started just kind of connecting the dots and saying, wow, this is exactly why it's here. And I know you're going to hopefully have a future guest on your show. I really endorse George Kavassalis' work on this. But he just wrote an article about the 5G network and how this thing is really supposed to, you know, be the capstone on being able to lock down and zombify the humans. Because when they upgrade all these towers, it, you know, everything is frequency, everything's vibration. You know, we're vibrational beings. When they start pulsing that really heavy-duty stuff through our bodies, we're not going to be able to handle it. When I say we, I would say the average human. For those of us that are awakened and a higher vibration, we're going to phase out of a lot of it. It's not going to affect us. But I'm talking about the people that we're here to help, and it's not going to be pretty at all. So, yes, it makes it very easy for these entities to connect with us. So when you're holding your iPhone and you're sleeping next to it under your pillow, it's not just the frequency from the phone that could damage your brain. It's also the fact that it's a conduit, an energetic conduit for these entities to just easily come in and out of you at will. Which is why I've gotten rid of as much technology in my home as I possibly can. And really the number one, there's two of them, your iPhone, and I'm not just picking that brand, any kind of smartphone. Your smartphone and your television set. Those are the two biggest culprits in any particular family. And if I could get people to, you can't maybe get rid of your phone, but get rid of your TV, stop watching it. It puts you in an alpha state of hypnosis and basically embeds you with frequencies, which also is a doorway for the entities to come in, as well as your phone. Having it with you 24/7 on your body is another doorway. So like at night, I put my phone all the way across the house. I have a landline in my house, so if someone needed to call me, they could call me, but I put the phone as far away as I can, because you don't want to be sleeping by those frequencies. You don't want to be sleeping by your smart meter or anywhere near your smart meter on your house. I got rid of mine, had the company come out and take it off the house, which they were able to do here in Phoenix. But you want to get rid of this as much as possible and fill up your house with Organite and other mitigating, frequency mitigating solutions, which you can find all over the internet. It really does help.
It's key to understand that everything has been developed with an eye to interfacing with other forms of technology. Like you mentioned, the chemtrails don't only, you know, work in a chemtrail fashion. Electromagnetic frequencies are involved, and also the 5 gigahertz issue. Colleagues of mine and I were talking about this as well. We felt for a while that all these Wi-Fi points, the Gwen Towers, etc., actually feed this artificial intelligence. And now they're coming out with 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi points. Think about how many Wi-Fi points are in a single place, like the MGM Grand Hotel in Vegas. And then extrapolating on that, how many Wi-Fi points are in Los Angeles, in New York City, all over the place. And one gets the idea of the kind of electromagnetic soup that they're residing in. And increasingly, the new cars that are coming into production now emit a lot of frequencies. It gives them headaches, gives them nausea because of the extreme emissions. So this is a frequency war. Orgone helps, tensor generators help, so on and so forth. Could you give an idea of how people may feel when they're being negatively affected by this type of technology, and how the technology interfaces with the implants and makes them feel in a mood sense, in a physical body sense as well?
Well, first of all, it can cause all sorts of, you know, disruptions of all the organs and glands in our body. They aren't going to be able to function properly. And so there's that frequency. Well, for example, you've seen, the Japanese doctor Emoto, is that his name?
Yes. The water experiment.
Exactly. And so we saw how just the water molecule can change, right? Well, how much percentage of our body is water? So think about it. When he sent certain frequencies, even just saying, I love you to the water versus I hate you to the water, just saying those words and having that frequency held in the human body holding a glass was able to change that molecule of water in such a profound way. Well, that's what it's doing to our bodies. And so when they run these frequencies through our bodies, we could have sleep deprivation, we could have freneticness about feeling like we've got our finger in a socket at a very low level. We could start to have thought disruption where, you know, more of like the ADD thoughts where we just can't hold on to a thought. We can start to feel nauseous and sick in our bodies. We could start to have all sorts of weird maladies we can't understand. You know, a lot of diarrhea, a lot of nauseousness, a lot of headaches, migraine headaches, all of those sorts of things. Because it's breaking down the body. It's physically breaking down the body, just like if you used frequency to break down a concrete wall. If you had the right frequency, you could watch that wall crumble. And that's what's happening to our body. And think about what they're doing. You know, we know that they want to eliminate a large percentage of humans on this planet. I mean, if they can't have this planet the way they want it to be, they're happy to destroy it. And so they don't really care how they get rid of us. So frequency is a beautiful way to do it, because how would you ever pin it to the frequencies? How would you ever be able to prove that? You can't. So if you can brainwash people into thinking that we need all of this technology, I mean, we already have cell phone towers that emit way more than what is needed to run our household appliances, our Wi-Fi, any of that. Now they want to bring it up to 5G? For what reason? It's completely to bring in these entities and to destroy the human body.
There's a couple of points that I want to make before teeing the listeners up for the second hour, which is going to be very important. And I encourage our listeners to stick around for that, because we're going to be talking about Sasquatch, not in the conventional, I found another footprint Sasquatch type of research, or look, I found a little clump of Sasquatch hair. We're talking about Sasquatch, the interdimensional being, the Sasquatch that is a nature spirit that can at times manifest in corporeal form and at times interacts with certain key humans here on the surface that they've developed a relationship with. We're talking about that Sasquatch. We're talking about that level of Sasquatch research. Now, before we do so, Lynn, could you tell the listeners how they can contact you and your website information?
Sure. So, James, they can get me at Rise Multiversity. I'm a mentor there. So if they go to the mentor page at Rise Multiversity and just look down the mentor list, you'll see George Kavassalis and Tom Montauk and some other people there. Just find my bio, and they can either reach me through my email, which is listed there, and it's L Williams, L for Lynn, L Williams with an S, 2002@verizon.net, or they can also find me on Facebook, and my address on Facebook is Lynn, L-Y-N-N, dot Williams, dot 129, after you put in all the former Facebook information, but that's my place. So it's either one of those. They can private message me on Facebook or send me an email. They can get a hold of me that way.
Thank you, Lynn. And for those listening, if you are in regular or semi-regular contact with George Kavassalis, please put in a good word for the Cosmic Switchboard show and see if you can establish comms between George and I, because I would love to have him come on the show. A couple of points I want to make about what we've been talking about before we take our break. One is that it's not simply a case of smart technology, of data mining anymore. Like many of us that have been on the internet for a while, we've noticed that when we do a web search for some kind of nutritional supplement, then later on you log on to Facebook and suddenly on the sidebar there you see an ad for the same or similar products you were just doing a web search on an hour before, a day before, whatever the case may be. Okay, that's going on all the time. Or, for example, you establish commo with somebody by mobile phone only, i.e. you're exchanging text messages with that person. Next thing you know, you log on to Facebook, and Facebook is suggesting that person that you've been texting strictly through mobile phones, suggesting them as a Facebook friend, when there should be no obvious connection between the two. But it's all data mining. That will always cause problems when you log into your email or this or that, the other internet service, and as a means to get you to log in and set up a password system to allow more interfacing with Facebook, with Twitter, with all these other systems. So it's far beyond that, because a long time ago I realized that not only do aliens and non-human beings have the means to literally read our thoughts, we already know that enhanced humans, let's say, humans of a strong psychic, shamanic, medicine man, medicine woman bent, can, in effect, read minds. And also that non-human beings can read their minds, and increasingly the military and their deep black technology can read minds. But this interface that we've been talking about can manifest itself. For example, I could be thinking about something, thinking about a product, thinking about traveling to some place for a holiday, whatever the case may be. Then I log on to Facebook. Next thing you know, in the sidebar, there is an ad for like a resort, or there is an ad for some nutritional supplement I'm thinking about getting. Thinking, underlined three times. I didn't verbalize it. I didn't go online and do a search. I just thought about it. Next thing you know, it's showing up there on Facebook. Very much like pre-crime, very much like Minority Report. Second point I want to make before we take our break is, and this is to give an idea to the listeners of just how deep this goes, and what I'm describing is a tip of the iceberg too. My colleague Wolfhawk and I, we were working with this gal in California, and long story short, the deep black elements of the military had implanted a pyramid-shaped metallic crystalline implant in her third eye area. And she saw in her third eye vision, and many of my labs have reported this, it's a two-way street. The deep black elements of the military can tune into the thoughts and actions and activities of a my lab, but sometimes the tables can be turned, and the my lab can see in their etheric third eye vision what the military is up to. They can see them twiddling the knobs on consoles at whatever installation they happen to be at. Well, after this crystalline metallic pyramid-shaped implant was stuck in this girl's third eye area, not only did she see the military twiddling knobs and activating it, essentially, but she also saw what can only be described as cloak-hooded demons in some nether dimension activating that implant that was in her head, in her forehead. And then afterwards, not only were they able to pull her consciousness through that implant in her third eye area and essentially pull her consciousness into any dimension they wanted to send her to, oftentimes very negative dimensions, but it was a two-way conduit that allowed either the military and particularly these entities in this demonic realm to send other entities through that pyramid-shaped implant in her forehead into our reality. And so as a result, when my colleague, Wolfhawk, would go into her house to help her, the place was saturated with such negative energy, it would take him days to recover. He would get physically sick, and Wolfhawk is a very strong individual. So that's how deep this technological, magical, artificial intelligence interface works, and that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Well, okay, and just one thing, James, before you go.
Oh, please.
I want to say on that is, you know, I really think we should spend some time talking about this in the second hour, because we chase the implants back to the genesis of where they're coming from, and I can talk a little bit about that, but we've had implants in people's bodies that have come from underground dumps here on this planet. Okay, so we can talk a little bit about that, because that is really interesting to see how that's all being connected. And then the second thing, the reason I want to talk about Sasquatch and my personal experiences with these humans, and that's what they are, is they're just ancient humans that we're very, very connected to, is because they also have a message for humanity about implants as well as other things that I think your listeners are going to really want to listen to.
Absolutely. You're one of those people that have had regular or semi-regular interactions with Sasquatch. They treat you as an equal. They know that you provide a means to getting key information out. The Hopi are not the only ones who give prophecies or that foretell probable, possible events in our timeline or alternate timelines. The Sasquatch do the same thing. We've reached the end of the first hour. You've been listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. If you like what we do, if you value the information we put out, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up, and become a member. And we'll see you at the top of the next hour.